process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Montgomery police are investigating a deadly shooting Sunday morning. Police say this happened just before noon Sunday in the 5800 block of Oakley Road. Police have not released the victim's name. No arrests have been made. The ATF is offering a reward in a Montgomery gun shop burglary. Montgomery police say 17 firearms were stolen from the Quick Pawn on Norman Bridge Road earlier this month. If you have any information, call Crime Stoppers at 215-STOP. And the Alabama Department of Public Health says more than 18,000 people have now recovered from the coronavirus. Across the state, there are now close to 35,000 confirmed cases, with nearly 9,000 of those cases coming in the last 2 weeks. State health officials say at least 898 people have died. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Hello, this is David Ernest with Ernest Financial. And just like Ernest Financial makes lots of money for our clients, Blue Water has helped us make lots of money for our company. You cannot go wrong with advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting.
Radio advertising is the only word of mouth you control. It adds credibility, creates emotional response, and attracts new customers. Find out how Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Confidence. Peace of mind. A way forward. During tough times, these are the things we all want. And with the personalized help of a Trustmark relationship manager, it's something we can find together. That's why Trustmark is standing by business owners. No matter what challenges you may be facing, we are here with a suite of financial services to help you find a path forward. Learn more at trustmark.com/business.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right, 272-9228, that's where we are. Any caller can get in on this weekly farm market gift basket drawing. Just have to ask to be in there. But if you want to get into a new drawing that we have, you must say, I want to get in on the dinner for two from Mortgage Corporation of the South, $50 gift card from John Williams. Tell me that. Give me a month and day of birth. We're going to do that drawing on Thursday this week while John calls in. So I'm really looking forward to that. Okay. So where are we? Let's see. Let's go back into Maryland Congressman, former police officer, is going to be talking about defunding the police. You know, Minneapolis actually took the next step towards that. Now, the mayor said it's got to go to a vote of the people because you're going to have to change the city charter. Talking to people in Minneapolis, that ain't going to happen. There may be some sections of Minneapolis that think that it's going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So let's listen in to this congressman. Interesting guy.
After advancing a measure to abolish their police departments, Minneapolis council members are now sending thousands of taxpayer dollars per day to hire their own private security. You believe this? Man. In fact, Fox News is confirming the city has spent, the city, $63,000 in just the past 3 weeks. Our next guest is a former police officer of 23 years and has a message for the defund police movement. Joining me now is Congressman, Republican Congressman Pete Stauber. Congressman, what is your message for the defund police?
Well, I think, Brian, that's hypocrisy at its best, right? City council votes to abolish the police department and then hires taxpayer-funded private security to protect them. What about the families and children in the city of Minneapolis that need that protection? And I think that Minneapolis, the business owners and the citizens have some grave concerns on what's happening in the beautiful city of Minneapolis.
So try to wrap your head around this. You are trying to get better policing, better law enforcement by giving them less money and less tools, and the first thing usually cut back is training.
Well, I think that you need to invest in your police department, and that's invest in the best practices, transparency and accountability and performance measures, and that's exactly what community policing does. It builds trust between law enforcement and their community, and that starts with leadership at the top.
Okay. So what when you're talking to folks or you're listening to what they're saying, they're basically saying, well, we're not really talking about defunding the police. What we're talking about is changing roles and having people for domestic violence calls be counselors, for example, and have someone that if they're drunk, then they do the field sobriety test, but they get them to someplace that they're safe. They don't arrest them. That there's too much bad stuff that happens with those arrests. So, welcome to No DUIs, Joey.
Yeah, like, what in the world?
Well, and it really, you know, I do think that they've kind of overstepped the DUI world.
Sure.
In other words, they're not testing your capacity. They're testing your blood alcohol content, and that does not necessarily equate to incapacitated. But I do agree that there's some things that can be done, but you got to remember the two most dangerous things that a police officer does is one, a domestic violence call, and second is a traffic pullover. That's where you get an officer shot. They pull over somebody who's got a rap sheet a mile long, and you find them out, they're going to go to jail, so it's easier for them to shoot the officer than it is for them to go to jail. And ramp it up to a murder charge or a attempted homicide. But what they're doing in New York, Blasio and the whole thing, this is just crazy. It is crazy. And New York is going to be in ruins. And the thing that they're trying to do is if they can take away some of the big principles of things, such as policing, and what they're doing is they're going to take it away because the police officers are leaving in droves. And the main part is you had a 49% increase in officer resignation a year ago compared to now. But the other problem is you're not getting the recruits in. You're not getting the people who want to be police officers coming through the door, passing the test, and making the grade, and going to the academy and passing. But they're not even coming through the door. So if your funnel coming in is constricted and you don't have the officers and you have more people leaving, you're going to have a problem. This thing is just going to break down because without effective policing, no telling what is going to happen, particularly in a place like New York. I mean, I've been going to New York for a lot of years, love New York. New York is a lot better after 2000. After 9/11 than it was before. It was a pretty cool place then, but it was a really nice place post 9/11, as I've said when I went up there. Everybody's so nice to each other. I mean, this was not the New York. I remember my first visit after 9/11. It was like, damn, these people are nice. I never knew that. You know, I would say, hey, how are you doing? They go, what do you want? You
know, right.
Well, yeah, everybody was suspect. But I talked to people up there now, and they said it is just, you wouldn't recognize the place, Dan. First of all, there are no people walking around. Like, Times Square was always a fun place to go to, particularly for Christmas. It's always packed. It was always something going on there, whether it's breakdancing Santas or the guy's going to sell you the Rolex watch, authentic for $8. Those are always the best watches. And I had a friend of mine that bought one. You said, where'd you get that? I said, well, I'm going to see how long it's going to last. I think it lasted about 2.5 hours. Let's go to the phones and go to Papa B. Papa B, welcome aboard.
Hey, Joey.
How are you? How are you, my friend?
Super fantabulous as usual.
Are you ready for the 4th of July weekend?
I'm getting that way. I'm getting that way.
Good.
I guess I have to call in ahead to get my order from Sweet Creek ready. Is that how it works?
Yep, 280 Farm, 280 Farm. And tell them when you want to pick it up, and they'll have it ready for you.
All right. Sounds good.
Are you gonna get the Boston butt, or are you going to get the ribs, or are you going to get both?
I'm going to get both, man. Why stop?
There you go, baby. I like it. You like John Williams. Either go big or go home, you know?
Go big or go home. I like that. Speaking of a plan, Dan,
yeah.
these liberal mayors of these cities, you know, you're saying, okay, they can't defund the police, but, boy, they can sure get it whittled down because, you know, if the police leave and they don't hire anymore, well, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like a plan to me. This is not by accident.
It's attrition. And let me tell you what, that's going to happen. It's happening here in Montgomery. Our numbers of the police officers have dwindled in the big thing. You remember how Todd Strange would always say, but we have 30 new members of the class. Well, their class size is under 20 now.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, here's my question, though, about that, is that, does that sound like, are they not just intending to defund the police, but do they have some sort of agenda for that? I mean, it sounds like a Marxist-type move to me, Dan.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. I'm a big history person, so whether you look at Hitler or whether you look at Stalin, whether you look at Mao, what happens is you have to erase the institutions of the past. You have to say government is the problem. The czar is the problem. We need new function of government, and it's called Marxism. It's called communism. And so that's what Mao did in China. He basically erased killed all the intellectuals, erased a big chunk of history that was there, so they had no ties to that. The only thing they had ties to was Mao and the Communist Party. Pol Pot, the same thing. Go ahead.
Well, if you noticed on Mao in particular, I don't know about the rest of them, but what he did is he mobilized a bunch of young folks to go out and harass the communities and the cities and towns all about. You know, recruiting well, you know, easily manipulated, idealistic, you know, fill their heads full of junk and send them out and cause havoc. So, boy, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, with Antifa and Black Lives Matter both. But anyway, I really wanted to, this kind of interest is kind of off the charts. I know not many people are thinking about it, but Dan, did you find it at all curious that George Bush came out and put to death the rumors that he wasn't supporting Trump? Did you find that any interesting at all?
Yeah, but you're talking about what happened a while back. It was 2 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, about 2 weeks ago. That's right. I said it was not really on the charts or anything, but you know, I'm finding it kind of curious. The Bush group they aren't saying jack. I mean, it's almost like they're on COVID lockdown or something. They're not really complaining about Trump. I mean, I do see a couple of things here and there, you know, that Bush might say, you know, but otherwise, that group, they are hemmed in somehow. And I want to remind you about this Bush funeral that took place a year and a half ago, and the envelope affair. And I know we didn't really talk about it too much, but man, whatever was in those envelopes, it was something bad.
Wait. You're talking about the McCain funeral that Bush was there?
No, it was the George Bush Senior funeral. It was the daddy funeral.
Okay, so tell me what happened.
All right, so, you know, you see Bush, Clinton, the Obamas, all of them, lollygag, you know, really yucking it up and everything. And then Trump comes in, and I mean, it's like the principal comes in.
Oh, okay, yeah, I do remember that.
They all straightened up real fast, and if you go to, you know, try to see what happened with the envelopes, something was in those, some kind of envelopes were passed out. And at the end there, especially, it showed where a looked like a Secret Service guy or something handed George W. Jr. An envelope, and he handed it to Barbara, not Barbara, his wife. What's his wife's name? George Jr.'s wife?
Laura?
President Bush handed it to Laura, and Laura just got this look on her face like the blood drained out of her. And she showed it to Jeb, and Jeb looked like he was about to throw up. And then he had, I mean, you could see her lips move. She said, "Is this true?" And President Bush said, "Yep." And so I'm just wondering what was in those envelopes.
Well, I need to see that video. You describing it doesn't help me out any.
Okay, well, yeah, go to the video. It's very interesting, very, very interesting. But anyway, I'm curious minds want to know, Dan. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you what I think is happening with the Bushes and why they're keeping such a low profile, because I think that Trump is so beloved in a bunch of Texas, and they have a family member who is seeking higher office. He's the, what's his position now? He's
Jeb's son. Yeah,
I think he's in charge of the state archives or something. And they don't want people banging on him. Now, he has stood up and point blank said, "I'm for Trump and I'm with Trump all the way." And his family members didn't say anything.
Okay. I'm familiar with that particular family member somewhat. I've just seen him. I can't remember his name, but I've seen him trying to get into the political realm. So, but anyway, just food for thought, my friends. Look it up. Bush Envelope Affair. You'll see all about it.
I like the name of it. Thanks.
All right, bud.
Take care. Going to be back with more right after this.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power. Is this your year for a walk-behind lawnmower upgrade? Well, if so, come by CTE and check out Honda walk-behind mowers. They're the best. Now, don't just take my word for it. You know Honda consistently wins consumer product awards, and Honda has the best warranty in the industry, up to 5 years. And right now, here at CTE, we have Honda mowers on sale starting at only $359. Now, you won't find a Honda for that price at a home store. And this month, when you buy a new Honda here from CTE, you'll get 1 year additional warranty for free. Not sure which Honda model is right for you? No problem. At CTE, you can try before you buy here at the store, or you can even rent one and take it home for the weekend. Now, who else does all that? That's what I thought. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road, and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and I have a message for our men and women in blue. The weight of the badge is heavy, but your financial burden doesn't have to be. We at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate your service to our communities. As a thank you, each law enforcement officer who purchases or refinances their home with Alabama Home Mortgage will receive a $500 gift card at closing. You heard me right, $500. We have had the honor of working with countless hometown heroes. You should be the next. What are you waiting for? Just the other day, a Montgomery police officer refinanced his mortgage with Alabama Home Mortgage. He lowered his interest rate by an entire point and received $10,000 in cash to pay off credit card debt. In addition, he skipped 2 months' mortgage payments. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Call Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. You deserve the best. Call the mortgage company that appreciates you. Call Alabama Home Mortgage right now. Madeline and I are standing by, ready to assist you. Call 567-4223 or visit us at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Peaches and Clean is here to take care of your floors and a whole lot more. Peaches and Clean knows it's been a spring different from any other, and you may have missed getting your carpets and floors clean. Our staff takes all precautions to keep your family safe, and when it comes to those area and oriental rugs, Peaches will pick them up, clean them, and return them to you. If you live in the River Region, Auburn, Opelika area, or Lake Martin, call us at Peaches and Clean to give your floors, rugs, upholstery, and more the most excellent care possible. Visit us at peachesandclean.com. That's Peaches, the letter N, clean.com.
It's time to get outdoors and get together for those fun gatherings and family reunions. Be sure to take care of all your guests with portable toilets from Alabama Dumpster Service. They're delivered where and when you need and picked up by our own fleet of trucks. Our competitive pricing means dependable, affordable, clean, portable toilets. Call us today at 334-288-1500 for availability and schedules, or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Then we get CTE Outdoor Power. Get your name in the drawing. The weekly drawing. Special fuel canister they have, and then 1 gallon of the special fuel they have. You have your choice between those two. It's a great deal, folks. CTE Outdoor Power, Bruce Holding. Okay, let's continue on with this Minnesota member of Congress, former police officer. Listen to a little bit of a story that he has to tell here.
You sacrificed a lot. You were shot.
I was shot off duty in 95, and then another gun incident where a criminal pulled the trigger while the gun was pointed at me, and it malfunctioned. And I was literally fighting for my life.
And that's something that sticks with you, but you're still into service, obviously, as serving as congressman. You know, they did an estimate. Since the George Floyd killing, the 20 largest metropolitan areas have suffered $400 million from rioting and looting. So what do we learn from this? Where do we go from here?
Well, I think that we are a nation of law and order. Our republic was established by laws. And I think that the lawlessness that's happening, the rioting, the disrespect for one another has to stop. Mob rule does not take over this country. And I think that's a dangerous precedent. And there's a lot of people standing up to that. We have the ability in this country to look forward and look at the prosperity and the freedom and the opportunities that this country can afford all of us. And I think that's what we need to right. Strive for.
Duke, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Monday.
Hey, good afternoon. How are y'all?
Duke, I'm good. And how are you?
I'm doing fine. I was wondering if I could get in on the Mortgage Corp of the South drawing.
There you go. Dinner for two. I'm John. I like that. Give me a month and day. Oh, never mind. Eight.
And a Sweet Creek, too, if you don't mind. Me and John used to play together when we were kids. Him and his mom lived in the apartments on Narrow Lane Villa Apartments, I believe.
You're kidding me.
We didn't really grow up together, but we played together. I don't really know how we got hooked up as kids, but
the apartment complex that was called the Red Lion Apartments at one time?
No, Narrow Lane Villa across the street from Seth Johnson.
Yeah, okay, I know where you are.
I don't know if they're still there or not. I hadn't been over there. But anyway, I went home for lunch today, and I made the mistake of watching that daily briefing for a few minutes.
Yeah.
One of the questions one of the reporters asked was, is President Trump glad that the South lost the Civil War? And really? I almost threw up. I was like, really? Is that? It was just unbelievable. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
They ask these questions that have this underlying tone to it. It drives me crazy.
They're sick people. They're sick people. Anyway, I appreciate y'all. I'm enjoying the show. I'm sorry I had to hang up a couple times.
No problem, Duke. You have a great day.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Did he hang up on you?
Several times, yes.
Well, we'll get him back. Let's do this. Let's go to an earlier break, okay, and then let's reset. So I have plenty of running room here on this next couple of subjects here. Coronavirus, have you heard of that? I'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
You know, I talk with David Ernest all the time, and I ask him questions like, David, what's going to happen with the economy?
Look, who knows what's going to happen? That's the problem. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. So why do you want to lose your dough if you don't know?
And what about the stock market? How safe is that for investing?
If you're young, fine. Keep on using that stock market in an aggressive way. But if you're getting close to retirement, maybe you need to take a look at what we do.
And it's easy to take a look at what we do. Just call David Ernest at 279-7431.
When the economy goes down, we just reset, make more money. We can't lose any. All we can do is make money.
279-7431.
What about them gigantic bonuses that we add up front? Or the insurance companies do. When the economy goes down, we just reset, make more money. We can't lose any. All we can do is make money.
Call David Ernest today. 279-7431. Ernest Financial, LLC.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. A victory for abortion proponents handed down this morning by a split Supreme Court.
The U.S. Supreme Court strikes down a Louisiana law requiring doctors performing abortions to keep admitting privileges in a hospital near their clinics. The vote from the justices was 5-4, with the Chief Justice, John Roberts, the deciding vote. It's in stark contrast to a 2016 ruling in which the court struck down a similar law in Texas, where Roberts voted to uphold it.
Fox's Eben Brown. Coronavirus sticker shock. Gilead Sciences, maker of the COVID-19 fighting drug remdesivir that can shorten recovery times for those with the virus, says the cost of a typical course of treatment will be $2,300 per patient. That's for those covered by government health plans. Those with private insurance, the price jumps to $3,100. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Caravita Village. Seniors, one call can take care of it all. Meals, transportation, activities, utilities, housekeeping, all included in one low monthly rent of $1,549 for a private suite. Reserve your tour and free lunch. Go to caravitavillage.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Get ready for another summertime scorcher today. High temperature up to about 93, heat index 100 or higher. A sun and cloud mix with some spotty random afternoon and evening storms for a few lucky towns. Tonight's low, a steamy 75. Tomorrow, with a high in the low to mid-90s again, looks like a better chance of rain tomorrow. More storms to go around. Then the rain chances get a lot higher Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Are you tired of renting instead of building equity in your home? ASC Credit Union can help with historic low rates and an easy approval process. Your dream of owning a new home can be a reality. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender, NMLS number 420259.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Okay. Coronavirus. The big thing with the coronavirus is that it's out of control. And Trump isn't wearing a mask. Everybody was on Trump not wearing a mask. They're just absolutely upset about that. And the way they're presenting all these new numbers is nuts. I mean, the overwhelming majority of these people are under the age of 35 now. It crossed the 50% threshold yesterday in the late afternoons when they reported that. And they love to deal in the unknown and to scare the hell out of you. So this was CBS opening story this morning, and they're going to be talking about Texas first, the next one.
We begin with the alarming surge in coronavirus numbers. The last 4 days have seen the largest increases in cases since the start of the pandemic. In hard-hit Jacksonville, Florida, hundreds of cars lined up at a testing site. Similar scenes are playing out across the country. Since Friday, at least seven states have reported record numbers of new daily coronavirus cases. At least 13 states have halted their plans to reopen, including California and Texas. Janet Shamlian is in Houston outside Memorial Hermann Texas Medical Center. Janet, what's the situation there?
Anthony, good morning. Like many hospitals in Houston, the ICU is near capacity this morning. To stop the surge, restaurants across the state can only be at 50% capacity starting today. And Texas bars had to shut down as of noon on Friday. Texas Governor Greg Abbott now saying he regrets opening so early.
We need to understand that COVID-19 has taken a very swift and very dangerous turn.
A dire warning from Texas Governor Greg Abbott after new coronavirus cases hit almost 6,000 in one day.
It will take these, warned by everybody, in the coming days to make sure that we will protect those lives.
Abbott was joined by Vice President Mike Pence, who wore a mask before speaking at a Dallas church Sunday. More than 100 choir members did not.
100 choir members did not. Those rascals. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So that's how they started out CBS Morning News.
The Grim Reaper is out on his outer world looking for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, continue on with the second part of this Texas story.
Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar warned Sunday the pandemic is entering a critical phase.
Things are very different from 2 months ago. The window is closing for us to take action and get this under control. Right.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom is also scaling back the state's reopening after a surge in cases there. He's ordered bars in seven counties to close immediately, including in Los Angeles.
It feels like it happened in the blink of an eye.
Danielle Lopez says her uncle Tommy Macias went to a backyard barbecue in Southern California about 2 weeks ago, where he later learned someone had the virus. She says he and more than a dozen others became infected. Just days before he passed, he posted to Facebook, "Because of my stupidity, I put my mom and sisters and my family's health in jeopardy. This is no joke. Wear a mask."
I hate to think that he left worrying about all of us left behind, and that he may have potentially infected somebody in our family.
Danielle says, thankfully, no one else at that barbecue is seriously ill. Here in Texas, as the cases grow, so does the demand for testing. Over the weekend, there were two testing sites here in the Houston area at stadiums. Within just a few hours, they were full to capacity of what they could handle.
It's all going to, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Okay, so now they're going to move coronavirus to Florida. Florida's equally as bad. You know, two red states. Gotta be bad.
Another state experiencing a very worrying surge is Florida, which reported more than 18,000 new cases over the weekend alone. Local leaders blame irresponsible people who defy the rules and the guidelines. Manuel Bohorquez reports from Miami Beach.
There's no doubt that the growth right now is exponential.
Miami Mayor Francis Suarez says all options are on the table, including another stay-at-home order, as his city races to contain a surge in coronavirus cases.
And for anyone who says, but the death rate is so much lower now, he would say what?
What I would say is it's yet to be determined. I want them to be ready, because you don't want people to die as a result of this, and it's certainly not as a result of irresponsible behavior.
Concerns over irresponsible behavior led officials in Miami-Dade and Broward counties to close the beaches over the 4th of July weekend. Hospitalizations are up more than 50% in Miami-Dade County from last week, and the 14-day average rate of positive tests is more than 16%. Statewide, the rate of positivity is roughly 12% and climbing. Officials say the increase is not just the result of more tests.
You see an increase in positivity. Yeah, you're testing more, but you're finding more cases at a faster clip.
That's the key. You're finding more cases at a faster clip. So where they said you don't have fever over 102, we're not going to test you. Now, if anybody's got any type of symptoms, they test them.
Right.
At huge numbers. In places that they weren't testing previously. And testing's a lot easier. Now, they love showing lines after lines after line after line of people going into these places. They took some fairground place and made it into this kind of super testing center, which I was pretty impressed with myself. So let's continue on with Florida.
On Friday, the White House flagged 10 states with the largest increases in test positivity. In all of them, people below the age of 40 account for the largest number of positive cases. And as young people increasingly test positive, some appear unfazed by the public health risk gatherings pose.
I think we all have a pretty good immune system, so I think we can all handle it.
But the virus can have dire consequences for younger people, like 29-year-old Allie Guidry, who was hospitalized with the coronavirus in May.
When she went to the hospital, she was only 20 weeks pregnant. She hung on long enough to do what she had to do in order to give us Maddie.
Allie died Thursday, but her daughter Madeline survived an emergency C-section and is now in the neonatal ICU. Allie's mom Denise and her fiance Michael are urging people not to take chances with the virus.
You would hear about the deaths of the older people.
And not a 29-year-old that's healthy.
Love your family, because it's not guaranteed.
Allie Guidry is survived by her mother, her fiancé, her 8-year-old son, Aiden, and now her daughter, Madeline. Madeline, we're told, weighs just about 2 pounds and is in stable condition. Just last week, the CDC released a report saying pregnant women are more likely to end up in the hospital, in the ICU, and on a ventilator because of the coronavirus.
Okay, so Secretary Azar was making the rounds, and Azar's kind of interesting. The more I hear him, the more he's got this pat answer that he likes to do, but he knows that a question is coming, and everybody asking, did we open too soon? Asked Mike Pence that, is going to ask Azar that. All the questions, every one of them, did we open too soon, and why didn't Trump wear a mask? That's it. Let's listen to Secretary Azar from HHS.
Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says the window is closing for the U.S. to get the coronavirus under control. He joins us now from Washington. Secretary Azar, good morning. As you just heard, the governor of Texas said he regrets opening bars as quickly as he did, reopening bars as quickly as he did. We've got more than 30 states reporting rising daily cases as of Friday. To Secretary, did America reopen too soon?
Well, here's what we know, which is we're seeing surges in new cases, especially in counties in the southern United States. And our governors, like Governor Abbott, are reporting that the majority of these new cases are under age 35. Many of them are asymptomatic. And we've got to get this under control because those individuals can spread this disease even unknowingly to those who are most vulnerable. We all have got to practice social distancing. We need to wear facial coverings when we can't social distance. And we've got to engage in appropriate personal hygiene. But one thing that's important for the people of the country to know is that our situation is very different than it was 2 months ago. And in fact, we just made a very important announcement that President Trump secured 500,000 courses of therapy of the drug remdesivir, which is used to treat people with COVID in the hospital and can reduce the length of stay by as much as one third. And we're going to make sure that that drug gets to the hospitals that most need it to take care of American patients.
So he stays with the corporate lines. Really good with that. Did we open too soon? Notice he didn't answer that question.
Right.
And he didn't have a pat answer for that, but it's like we're getting all this other stuff done. We're not doing unified testing. Well, we're not doing contact surveillance and stuff. That's a state deal. That's not federal government job. And if somebody's not doing the tracing, I don't know why Alabama's not doing a better job with that. A friend of mine is the military side of getting the Alabama stuff done. I guess I'll ask him at church when I see him. So let's continue on with Secretary Azar again. Did we open too soon?
But I want to get to that in a second, Mr. Secretary. But I want to get to the question of did we reopen too fast, do you think?
So we've got to get back to work, back to school, and back to healthcare. And we've seen states that have reopened just as much as the counties that are at issue here and have not seen these kinds of outbreaks. We have to all take personal responsibility because even within reopening, we have always said, the president has said in his guidelines for reopening, practice social distancing, wear facial coverings when you can't, and practice good personal hygiene. And if we don't act responsibly, we're going to see governors, as did Governor Abbott, as did Governor Newsom, pull back on those reopenings if we don't act responsibly. But we've got to support this so we can get our country back up and running.
But some states, Mr. Secretary, didn't abide by those guidelines when they reopened. Cases were still on the rise and they reopened. They started reopening anyway.
Well, we can defer to our states to make the call on when it's safe to reopen, but our individual behaviors within those constraints are what's going to drive whether we see spread of disease. Because if we social distance, if we protect ourselves and others by wearing facial coverings when we can't social distance, we're going to protect not just ourselves, we're going to protect our family members. I mean, if you have vulnerable family members at home, over 80, or those who are suffering from key comorbidities like hypertension, diabetes, obesity, or kidney failure, you're putting them very much at risk. But you know what? 40% of us are going to be asymptomatic if we get this disease, at least. And that means that when you're at the grocery store line, you could be actually impacting a vulnerable person next to you. So please practice appropriate social distancing and protect others and yourself by wearing facial coverings when you can't.
He's good. I like how compelling he is towards things. And you can tell he really gets into it. You remember the time that he was going to get fired by Trump, which turned out to be totally untrue, part of this fake, made-up news? And I think he's actually done a pretty good job, and he's learned how to handle the press much better. Remember, he was doing all those interviews right at the very beginning. Then he came off, Fauci came off, and they're just now getting back in just a little bit. So, going to be asked that magic question, should the president
be wearing a mask.
Mr. Secretary, shouldn't the president be wearing a mask if we're telling everybody in the country they should be wearing a mask?
So the president's situation is very different as the leader of the free world. He's the most tested person probably on earth. Everybody who's with him is tested before they're with him that day. He's kept in a very protected bubble there. So it's a very different situation. He has called for, in his own guidelines, from day one, for social distancing and wearing facial coverings.
But aren't you sending a conflicting signal? It's confusing to people. The president doesn't wear a mask. Why should I?
But the message is very clear and has been from day one. I am his Secretary of Health. I'm telling you, wear facial coverings when you can't social distance. The president's guidelines for reopening say wear facial coverings when you can't social distance. So it's been very clear throughout, and it's going to remain clear.
You said the window to contain this virus is closing. What did you mean?
Well, because we're seeing so many cases spread in these counties, we've got to get on them, and that means very localized interventions. You know, the traditional tools of contact tracing are important but not good enough. That's a public health official sitting there on the phone finding who you've been in touch with. But with as much as 40% asymptomatic cases, we've got to use tools we use in other types of public health challenges. Actually get engaged in the community, find those cases, but then test everybody in the community, find the cases. Isolate those individuals. We've used tactics like this just in the last couple of weeks in North Carolina, in Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte is, and it can turn the tide, but it's going to take local leadership supported by us and the states to make that happen.
Now, if you were to listen to Dickerson and some of these people, including George Stephanopoulos, this whole mask thing is they hold Donald Trump responsible for all of the youth, the 35 and under people that are getting sick because they're not wearing masks because the president's not wearing a mask. Let me ask you something, Joey. You're under 35.
Mm-hmm.
Does the fact that the president doesn't wear a mask, would that have anything to do with you? Would you go, damn, he's not wearing a mask. I'm not going to wear one either.
No.
Would have nothing to do with it.
Right.
But they string those two things together. It is absolutely incredible. They're blaming him for the under 35 getting infected because they're not wearing a mask.
Right.
You know why they're not wearing a mask? They're under 35.
Now, I said at the beginning of this thing, and it was one of the first press conferences of the task force with the president, and then I saw it was Biden and Bernie, that debate they did. And listening to Biden and Bernie and to Trump, this is an equal opportunity offender right here. I'm like, hey, how about all the politicians and so-called leaders just shut up? If you're a doctor, I'll listen to you, and I'll just look at the stats as they come in. I'm not taking my cues from our so-called political leaders on this.
There you go. And any of those three would not be meet that standard. Let me go to a break. Keith, coming back to you right after this.
Dan Morris Show. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now. Class A CDL license and at least 6 months driving experience with a good record, Jimmy and Darius Transport specializes in hotshot. Their trailers are 3 to 5 car haulers and they have immediate openings for qualified drivers. Earn $1,500 per week, 50% of your health insurance paid, paid vacations that grow to 3 weeks after 3 years, quota bonuses and much more. Jimmy and Darius Transport is also looking for dispatchers. Call Jimmy and Darius Transport at 241-6414. That's 241-6414.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, boys and girls, You want to get your shots in? Well, you better call. Keith did. Keith, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on the Monday.
How are you doing today?
Doing very good.
Good. I heard a rumor this morning. I'm going to call it a rumor because it was ABC News that was reporting it about if Donald Trump slipped any lower in the polls, he was reconsidering or considering dropping out of the election. You heard that report from ABC News?
I did hear about it, but I totally discounted it. It's, to me, total baloney made-up news.
Yeah, because the Gallup polls has him at, what, 9.3 behind Biden right now.
Well, it, you know, in all these polls, first of all, are they registered voters? Are they adult? Or is it registered voters? Or is it likely voters? And then, if it is likely voter, how did they determine that that person was a likely voter? Opinion Dynamic Research says that you had to go vote in three of the last four elections that you had an opportunity to vote. If you did, then you're a likely voter. If you did half of them, you're a somewhat likely voter. If you only did one, you're not a likely voter. You're not anything.
All right. Well, I would hate to see it happen because our country would be screwed.
It would be. And, let me tell you something. These folks, they know something's going to be happening in the Durham situation. Things are about to, things are about to happen. Some rain's about to fall. And they're trying to, they're a little panicked here. And because they don't know what's out there, and I think the whole Durham thing could take Biden out for sure.
You do. Well, I hope so. I trust your opinion.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too. Ta ta. Okay. So we did coronavirus. Now let's get in the Frank Lutz. Now, I'm going to apologize right at the very beginning. This is a terrible connection. Frank Lutz should know better. He should have a better studio setup than what he's doing. But he kind of goes in and out because it's a FaceTime interview that he's doing. Listen in.
There's a new conventional wisdom about this election echoing across the airwaves.
Not many people are saying it out loud on the right, but the fact is that President Trump could well lose this election.
This looks like a deliberate attempt to drive his campaign into the ground every day.
The president acknowledged he might come up short in talking to Sean Hannity about Joe Biden.
He can't put two sentences together. I don't want to be nice or unnice, okay? But, I mean, the man can't speak. And he's going to be your president because some people don't love me, maybe.
He's like a child who can't believe this has happened to him. All his whining and self-pity. Well, this pandemic didn't happen to him. It happened to all of us.
Joining us now here in Washington, Frank Luntz, the veteran pollster who has worked for many Republicans. And Frank, Donald Trump's probably getting the worst press of his presidency. Some of this has to do with that New York Times poll showing him trailing Joe Biden by 14 points, trailing by double digits in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Polls change. It's only June. But are these gloom and doom assessments by the media on target?
They got on the Acela. They all went to Philadelphia. They got into a cab or an Uber, drove half an hour and interviewed voters in the Philadelphia suburbs. That was not where Trump was going to do well. In fact, Hillary Clinton did extremely well. Trump did better 30 minutes farther away. And so the press cannot use polling, even though it's my profession. They cannot use it as a substitute for actually talking to voters. And second, there are three questions that matter more than the ballot. First, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? The famous Ronald Reagan question. Second, is America heading in the right direction or wrong track? And third, job approval. It's not whether Trump and Biden, it's not the difference between them. It's the job approval for the president. The first question, he's doing well. And the second question, he's doing badly. And the trend on job approval is going down. So we need a level of sophistication.
Okay, so Howard, of course, interrupted him there, so he's going to pick up in the next question. He's going to carry on with that thought.
Let me jump in and ask you this, because this is not just the liberal media trashing Trump's reelection chances. Wall Street Journal's conservative editorial board writing the following. Mr. Trump heads for what could be a historic repudiation. As of now, he has no second term agenda. His default now is defensive self-congratulation. Do you think that is too harsh based on, you know, because that's coming from an editorial page that agrees with him on a lot of policies?
I don't think it's too harsh. I think there's a warning there. That the president's own, he's talking about all the things he's done, trying to prove that he's lived to his promises. And that's a mistake, Howie. Voters vote on the future, not just the past. And they vote on what you're going to do, not just what you have done. And Donald Trump is not explaining what's going to happen in the months and years to follow. That's a total mistake that he is making. And the Journal basically is calling him on it with 4.5 months to fix the challenge.
I agree with that. He needs to say, this is what I'm going to do for in the next 4 years. And what Reagan used is stay the course. In other words, we had gone through some bad times. Things were getting better. Need to stay the course. He's tried to do this saying, well, it was lowest unemployment for blacks. The stock market was great. He needs to more directly kind of say, what we need, I'm working so we can get back to where we were, but even better. And he needs to stop doing the, I did the, and then add whatever sentence to it. I had the, and add whatever sentence. It needs to be, we're all in this together, number one. He needs to show empathy for people's concerns out there for their health and their safety and their welfare. If he would just do those simple things, I think his poll numbers would change dramatically. Let's listen to the second part of this. He needs to talk more to the public that's going to decide, not his base.
Now, Politico reports that Trump has told friends that he knows he's losing, at least as of right now. There are numerous news stories saying Trump's advisors are upset with the campaign he's running, that he's not more forward-looking, to use your phrase, that he is winning over, he is playing to his base with divisive rhetoric. Are these fair criticisms? Usually when people who are allied with a candidate, in this case the incumbent, start telling this to reporters off the record, it means there's a lot of frustration.
It means that they're basically saying to the president, wake up. There's a reason why he's on the air every day, dominating the news, and yet his numbers are going down. The tone is off. It's not empathetic. The message is off. It's not enough about the future. And the key in all of this, Howie, is that swing voter, the undecided, and it's only 6% of the population. If you're not talking to them, you're not changing the election result, and that is the challenge that Trump has right now. He's talking very effectively to his base. He's not talking to the people he needs to win.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And this could change in a moment's notice. Can I fit in cut number four? Okay, this is Frank Luntz talking about the a precise, concise message.
You mentioned Joe Biden going to Pennsylvania to give a speech this week about saving Obamacare and the COVID situation. By and large, Biden is doing interviews from his Delaware home. He is not out there very much. Now some Democrats looking at the polls saying, you know what, that's a pretty good strategy. Do you think it is better in media terms for Biden to kind of be mostly off the radar while the president dominates the news?
Well, there's great phrase by the strategist Lee Atwater, that when your opponent is in the process of deploying themselves, get out of the way. Just let it happen. So this makes sense for now, but Biden cannot hide forever. I've been watching and studying the election in 1968 because I think that is the most appropriate comparison to 2020. Civil unrest, violence in the streets, candidates that did not necessarily please a lot of people in the electorate. And the key in all of this is knowing when to speak, knowing what to say, and being so disciplined that you don't